Okay, so we are carrying on with our study in the book of Hebrews. And on the back of your bulletin, you'll see an outline. And there are more bulletins on the back table back there. And there's some Bibles back there also. You will probably need a Bible as we go through this. Just for a quick review, we've looked at this group of mostly Jewish Christians that this letter is written to. But as we have discovered, some of them are just people that have intellectually accepted who Christ is. Some are ones that are just drawn to the gospel. So what we find in Hebrews is a unique thing of it's written on about three different levels. That it was written on one level to believers, those that are followers of Christ. And it's written on another level to a couple of different groups of those that have not really committed themselves to following Christ. So just knowing that, when you read through Hebrews, it will make a lot more sense to you. Just keeping that, just that simple fact in your mind. This group of people, most of them believers, some not, though they were trying to return, it's not the classic thing of Judaizers coming into Gentile believers and trying to get them to obey the law and to be accepted by God through obeying the law. It's actually people that are they're trying to go back to actually the Old Testament way, back to going to the temple, back to sacrifices, back to all the different ceremonies. It's something they were comfortable with, they felt secure with. Times get difficult, we want to go back to where we feel secure. And that's what they were doing. But even though these things were comfortable and they felt secure, these things, they were never going to find rest in these things. In fact, these things were just going to bring death. They were going to bring separation between them and God and between each other, really. So what the writer is doing is going back, he's telling the superiority of Jesus. Really, the superiority of Jesus to any prophet, the superiority of Jesus to any priest, the superiority of Jesus to the law, the superiority of Jesus to the Old Testament, the superiority of Jesus to everything. And even though it's written to this group, obviously there are things for us to apply in here. And we were looking at this road to Canaan, this place of rest in the Christian life. Not that all of our battles are over, but this place of, and we talked about this last week, where being willing to struggle to rest, to make every effort to rest, to every day take up the struggle to put your trust in God. Every day, is it not a battle every day to trust God? I have that battle. I know that you do too, whether you shake your head or shout amen or not. I know that you have that same battle that I do. Every day when I get up and I head into life, there's a struggle to trust God. And I have a choice. Will I rest? Or will I do this in my own effort, and will I have that gnawing anxiousness throughout the day as I try to fill that hole with everything but God? So, last week we looked at this idea of staying on course. Of these, he gave us these hints. Really, hints is too light a word. Commands, really, in ways that help us to have faith, such as encouraging one another daily. Such as allowing the Word to expose our inner being to God so that we can be transformed. Not just reading the Word, but being cut by it to where the intentions of our heart and our motives are exposed and we are transformed. I can just say that and it can go right. But think what that means. Where else can you go and have the attitudes of your heart change? You can cover, you can suppress, but to actually have the attitudes of your heart change. Only in turning to God and through His Word is how He does that. So, we also looked at prayer. Of God has made a way for us to come into the Holy of Holies. Do we take advantage of coming into His presence? Now, our problem with coming into His presence is that we like to hold things back from God. We like to maintain control. We like to keep secret sins. Whatever it is, anything that we're hanging on to, unforgiveness, anything that we hang on to stops us from going into the very presence of God. The only way we go into the presence of God is by Jesus, by His sacrifice, not by our own righteousness like we were discussing earlier. And I particularly reminded the men of these things last week, some concrete things that they needed to be doing to set the example, to have leadership. And, you know, getting up here and teaching every week, sometimes I wonder, just to be honest, sometimes I go, is this making any difference? Does anybody obey? This is not questioning you. This is questioning my faith. Does anybody actually respond? This is just going through it. You go through a little period of doubt. Does this transform anybody's life? You see, because when it's put out there, you have a responsibility to respond to it. Not because I'm saying it, because that's the word. And I particularly addressed the men last week. So, was there any response in your life? It's a legitimate question. Was there any response, also ladies, was there any response in your life to what was put out there last week? Did you encourage anybody and were you encouraged in fellowship during the week? Did you read the Word in a way that would cut you? Did you enter into the Holy of Holies? Did you make it your daily struggle to have faith? There's something in Hebrews here that is really, it's all through the book. Respond to God. Respond to God. Make a move. Obey what He's telling you, or you're going to go into a downward spiral that's hard to return from. It's pretty blunt. And it is respond today. Today is the day of salvation. Over and over and over throughout the book. So, I give you that warning before we start. That the Holy Spirit, and I really believe as we have studied this book of Hebrews, I believe the Holy Spirit has really opened up some things that I've never seen in here before. And I believe He's opening this up to us, not just for us to sit here and enjoy, but to obey. To actually, in a concrete way, where we can look at our life and say, oh, something changed. We're doing things different. I'm doing things different. That's what the Word does. Obedience follows faith. So I'd like to give you a flavor for the next few chapters. So really, it's almost like another introduction here today. We kind of wrapped up, remember, we wrapped up this journey to rest. We had these specific things that the writer of Hebrews is telling us, do this. This will help you get to Canaan land, to the land of resting in Christ, to abiding in Him, to have intimate fellowship with Him. You encourage one another daily. You're in the Word. You get into the Holy of Holies. Now we're going to take a little bit of a different track. So I'll tell you where we're headed. Drawing near to God. That's the next topic we're going to get for these next few chapters. Drawing near to God. So let's go to, we're going to jump ahead. We wrapped up chapter 5 in Hebrews is how far we got. But before we, or did we wrap up? How far did we get? We actually got through 4. We wrapped up chapter 4. So before we jump into chapter 5, I'll give you a little bit of a overview, kind of a map. It helps sometimes to know where you're headed. So I'm going to tell you where we're headed, and then we'll get some specifics, and the specifics will mean more to you as you know where we're going. So where we're going is we're going to look into what it means to draw near to God and how we do that. And today may basically just be an introduction overall. But so let's go to chapter 7, jump ahead to see where we're going, verses 18 and 19. The former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect. And a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. The writer here is saying you're trying to go back to the law. You're trying to make yourself do works. That's how you're approaching God. You've got the wrong idea. We have a new hope. This is how we come near to God. It's only through Jesus. And we have to understand, there's some things we just have to know if we're going to approach God. And that we have to be reminded of. I remind myself of these things every time I do turn to God. It's a constant reminder throughout the day. So some of these things we'll need to keep with us. So another theme that is central to Hebrews is this idea of drawing near to God. And we're going to look at just two primary things that are necessary to drawing near to Him. We're not going to go into great detail, but this is just to tell you where we're going. The first thing that we need to keep, that we need to understand if we're going to draw near to God, is we have to keep clear in our minds that Jesus is the way to the inner room, to the Holy of Holies. Over and over, He uses this analogy of the temple, this analogy of the outer court, the brazen altar, of coming in to the holy place and going behind the curtain into the very presence of God, this place that only the high priest was allowed to go into in the Old Testament, only once a year on the Day of Atonement, only with blood. But now we can enter this place. And we have to remember and keep clear in our minds that Jesus is the way that we go in there. Being very clear about who He is. They had gotten off, their theology had gotten off, and they didn't have a clear understanding of who Jesus was. And so that's one of the first things that He straightens up here when we start this book of Hebrews, is that we have to understand deeply that we are coming by His merit. You say, yeah, I understand that. You've told me that before. But there's a difference in understanding it and having the deep understanding of your helplessness and hopelessness without Jesus. That you have nothing in yourself to make yourself acceptable to God. You have no merit until you have received the righteousness of Christ. So we have to understand that deeply, and I'll guarantee you that's something, if you're a Christian, that you will have to learn over and over throughout your Christian walk. Humility. You will over and over have to learn that you're coming to Him on His merit and not your own. His righteousness. The writer has much to say about Jesus and Him being our way into the presence of the great triune God. Hence, all this teaching about the superiority of Christ. He is the only way. And we're going to have communion later this morning. And I want you to begin now to prepare yourself for communion. That this is just, you know, we are physical creatures. You know, you think just when you go to heaven, you think this is not going to be this floating around in the clouds kind of thing. It's going to be real. It's going to be physical. We are physical and spiritual. And this communion is something we can put our hands on. We can taste it. We can drink it. And it's a clear picture of the body and the blood of Christ. This is how we come into, it's not just how we're saved. It's how we come, it's why we can come into the Holy of Holies, into the very presence of God. We come in with Jesus holding our hand. We come in because He has given us His righteousness. Because He has paid the price for our sin. And we must remember that. And that's what later, that's what communion will be about. It'll be us remembering that this is how we approach God. This is how we come into the Holy of Holies. Because His body, He laid down His life for us. He shed His blood for us. Our substitute. Us saying, oh God, I deserve Your wrath. I deserve to die. Let Jesus take this. And then He takes it all. And not only that, He imputes and gives us His righteousness. Now we can approach God. We can actually, in our weakness, we can approach God. And that's what later. So you can prepare yourself for that now. And the beauty of this is that you can get right with God. And we need to be right with God before we take communion. So there's not going to be any spotlight on you. And even if you're a visitor, of course, as long as you're right with Jesus, then you can come and have communion. So, I'm giving you a little bit of time. You can get right between now and then. And then you can enter into the Holy of Holies, the very presence of God. Not that you're looking for some great emotional experience. You may or may not. That's not my choice. So, the next thing. Mandatory element to draw near to God. This is a mandatory element to draw near to Him. In Hebrews 11:6, it says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. We must, if we're going to approach God, we must have faith. We must be putting our trust in Him, not in ourselves. Faith is mentioned both directly and indirectly throughout Hebrews, including, of course, the magnificent chapter 11, the Hebrews, the Faith Hall of Fame, and we'll get into that later. Hebrews gives us a very interesting take on faith. It's one of the few places, only that I can think of, that I know of right now. I haven't researched that, but the only that I know of that gives us a very specific yet short definition for faith. In Hebrews 11:1, we won't go there now, or I won't read that now. You can look at it if you want. But even with this clear definition that he gives us in chapter 11 of what faith is, we get an even simpler and more profound dealing with faith throughout this letter. And this has impacted me this week. It simply has to do with looking to Jesus. I'll explain this just a little bit more. A.W. Tozer has described it this way. The gaze of a soul upon a saving God. Now, Jesus used a similar... You remember Jesus used this analogy of when the Israelites... Remember, they had disobeyed God over and over and over. They had been bitten by the snakes. And God told Moses to make a bronze serpent, put it on a pole, raise it up. This is not idol worship. He said, raise up, and anyone that looks at the snake will be healed. You know, it always frustrated me that he didn't say, anybody that puts their faith in God will be healed. He just said, look, anybody that looks at the snake will be healed. Now, there has to be something with faith in there, but Jesus didn't say that. He used the analogy, and he was using that for himself. When he is raised up on the cross, anyone that looks to me will be saved. And there's something profound about that. That just looking to him is synonymous with having faith. Just looking to him. Let's look, we won't go to those verses yet, but you see the beauty in this. The simplicity. When you can't do anything else, you can look to Jesus. When you can't do anything else, you can turn your thoughts, the gaze of your soul, you can turn it to Jesus. So instead of introspection, do I have faith? Will I have faith? Can I have faith? Would I be able to have faith in that situation? What if I was in prison? What if I was being prison? Would I have faith? Will I have faith? Instead of that, it's simply looking to Jesus. Turning the gaze of your soul towards Jesus. Let's look at a couple of verses here. Hebrews 12:2. You'll see this. I've never noticed it. How many times is in Hebrews. You'll see it over and over. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We just look to Him. He perfects our faith. He builds our faith. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy before Him endured the cross. And let's go to Hebrews 3:1. We've already examined this verse, but we'll go back to it. Therefore, holy brothers, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess. There's a direct link here from fixing your thoughts, fixing your eyes, turning your gaze towards Jesus with faith. God, you see, God desires to communicate. He desires to communicate to you. The very nature and essence of God is communicative. Creation, we're told that the creation itself cries out that there is a God. And if you look at the whole Old Testament, it's about God communicating to man. Is He particular? He's particular. You have to come to Him in a certain way. You come to Him not in the way He said, and He will not accept you. He's very straightforward with that. Cain comes with fruits and vegetables, without the blood of the sacrifice. And God says, I don't accept that. So, God, you see, of His core nature, is communicating. And He desires to communicate. You don't have to fight God to communicate with Him. He desires to communicate with you. So, how are we to have this ongoing communion with God? This in His presence. How are we to have that? Very simply put, is to direct your thoughts toward Jesus. Now, I often, this thing, we've talked about this often, abiding in Christ, to where we stay, we maintain a connection to the vine, we rest in Him, we rely on Him. But this is a little bit new to me. And I've kind of experimented with the practical aspect of that this week as I have struggled. And I have simply, without being able to drum up faith, I simply have turned my eyes to Jesus. Turned my thoughts, the gaze of my inner being, the gaze of my soul, to Jesus. And I recognize the strength and the purity there, and I just become infused with Him. Not because I drummed up enough trust, not because I did anything with great discipline, simply turned my eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith. And let's go to another verse that kind of, I think sort of rounds this out. Is chapter 10, verses 19 to 24. So follow along. I think you'll see how this draws it together a little bit. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, while we have the confidence to go there, by a new living and living way opened up for us through the curtain, that is, His body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. Now, I stopped there kind of in the middle of a paragraph so as not to distract you from the main point of drawing near to God. That's the main point there, is to draw near to God. Yet, what comes next are some things we've already talked about. He talks about encouraging one another daily. He talks about the relationships in the body. And he connects communion with himself with being obedient in these areas, these tacking points as we call them. A recurring theme is that you must be moving on in these things. You must be growing in these things, obedient in what the Holy Spirit reveals. He's saying, keep moving. Keep moving in the Lord. I'm always concerned when I see somebody not doing the things they once were doing. Now, I can't look into somebody's heart. I can't know exactly what's going on between someone and the Lord. But when someone used to be reading their Bible twice a day, when somebody used to be getting up early and praying, when somebody used to be in communion and fellowship with the body, when somebody used to dig into the Word, if they used to have that pattern of doing things, and I see that no longer happening, I'm concerned. And I think for a scriptural reason, I'm concerned. Because the writer of Hebrews says, we must keep on moving in these things. To stand still in the Christian walk is to go in reverse. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. I think I might cut this a little short. A lot short today. For those of you that aren't normally with us, we go on for quite a long time normally here with the teaching. But I think just so we can relax, if you're used to getting out straight at noon, then it might not feel that relaxing to you. But for everybody else, they're going, wow, we're normally here another 45 minutes. So I'd like for us to be able to relax and think over, allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you, instead of me going down through this, because there are some things that we need to be doing in our life and being obedient to God in to maintain a softness of heart. You see, when we are not obedient, when we quit doing the things we once were doing, our heart becomes hard and we no longer are hearing from God. It becomes fainter and fainter and fainter until we barely hear His voice when He wants to communicate with us. So, instead of me going through this, and we'll pick this up next week with chapter 5, I want you to consider the things that God has dealt with you on in recent days, maybe a long time ago. You see, time is a no factor to God. If He dealt with you on 20 years ago and you never dealt with it, that's like the present to Him. You may have pushed that out of your mind so far it doesn't exist, but that's today to Him. So, I'd like for you to listen to God. You see, there's a moving towards God that even a person that has not committed themselves to God. There is a moving towards God, and many times a person will turn back before they ever really cross the line of commitment to God. And those ones even need to recognize, oh, I better get this thing steered back, or there's going to be eternal consequences I don't want to face. But for us, for those that are walking with God, there are still some severe consequences you face. It is hard to turn around when you get into a pattern of not listening to God, not obeying. You think it's no big deal to go a week and not respond to what God has dealt with you on. It's a big deal. It is a big deal. You have to stay in the battle. So this is an opportunity to hear from God. I would like for you to enter, this is not some kind of big emotional experience, but I would like for you to, before you come up and take communion, I would like for you to enter into the Holy of Holies. And if you're not ready to come up and take communion, don't come. Nobody's going to single you out and say anything to you. But anybody can be ready to take communion, even if you're not a believer. You right now can take Jesus' substitutional death. What a time to do it. You can turn to God. You can take His substitutional death. You can accept that and place your own. You can have salvation today and come up and take your first real communion.